Thank you, John, for that lovely introduction. Makes it sound as though I grew up in a Tennessee Williams play. I don't think I actually did. I'm just going to read you a bunch of poems from a couple different books and some new stuff at the same time. Not all at the same time. That would be difficult. This is from how many books do I have at this? It's from a book that I wrote. It's called Holy Ghost. It's from a man named Amir who told me this story. I'm going to back this up a little bit more. There we go. I feel like I'm unencumbered by objects now. 1958. Kids growing up in Cleveland live on streets that border black neighborhoods, live on streets that border Polish neighborhoods, and they all go to school together. They all get along with no thoughts to color, with no thoughts of color. But summertime is just different. Nobody goes into somebody else's neighborhood unless they're looking for a fight. Not because they're black, not because they're Polish, just because it's turf, space in the city. Huh. So these black kids, not Polish kids, sneak down early morning, Friday mornings, sneaking down before these little black kids could rise and shine and catch those little black kids who are trying to get a donut, a Danish, maybe a bear claw, then hightail it back to home turf. Shortcuts through the park, neutral turf, you can't see what's invisible, baby. On the way back, those black, not Polish kids straddle the imaginary line of space-time continuums, but they know their home's safe. When they see Albert Ayler perched between the brownstones, between black and Polish neighborhoods, honking and squealing and wailing and honking and squealing and wailing and wailing and squealing and honking and loving the bounce back reverberation echoes and the mix of horns and traffic sounds, the city sounds and the sounds of sound, the sounds of rocks pelting walls thrown by Polish kids who hated all that fucking noise, and the sounds of old men telling their old ladies to shut up, and whatever sound a human ever made, and God damn it, man, it was cosmic. God damn it, man. It was cosmic. Albert took no note to anything but sound, and it was cosmic. Around there, folks called him the Holy Ghost. Well, thank you, Scott. You either stepped on a cat or you really enjoyed that. Next three are from one of my two new books. Called The Lower 48. This is a poem about the great state of Kansas called Back When We Were Wild. Kansas, I wish we could share a kiss, but the prairie sneaks up so goddamn fast and then never leaves. Wasted three hazy days, boiling in 100-degree heat, driving across endless flats with a ghost who plays mute co-pilot. And I haven't seen a hill, but somewhere back there was a famous frontier town I missed. I've been reading Raymond Carver while I drive. It seemed more sensible than maps. And in a junk shop or a hotel with no hot water, I catch a smell that reminds me of atonement or of another time, back when we were wild. Continuing on with states, this is the great state of Mississippi. It's a poem called Pelicans. If you wake the pelicans, you will be immediately turned inland, left somewhere near the Alabama line where roads have no names, no numbers, and you better hope to hell you got a compass to lead the way. Maybe you could be left somewhere else entirely, perhaps on Mississippi traces used for thousands of years, ancient trade routes where animals hunt, where our dead are buried in mounds of earth. Or was that another culture? One that didn't believe in stray dogs, one that told the stories of a dozen bluesmen, men with names who sound foreign in mouths not acclimated to Mississippi heat, men with names like Charlie Patton, Robert Johnson, or Mississippi John Hurt. I chase these trails that reach their decided end, calling panthers in Bentonia, where juke joints no longer rock, but if you drop a 20 on the bar, you can get a few free Miller Lights and barter a history of the blues. Archaic chords. The slash and knife along fretboard fosters images of another time, another Mississippi when Grant's army moved vapor across a secret south. As storm clouds, they assault the bluffs of this distinguished American river. Water drops among kudzu, falling bombs on walls of a business district killed by Vicksburg gamblers. breathing, faded. Close enough to the enemy to tell dirty jokes. Standing on shores, magnolia trees rise, twisted and bent, plantations wrecked by hurricanes. The Gulf of Mexico, as it stood before DeSoto, waves holding poles in place. Pelicans perch there to sleep. One more state poem and we'll move on to some newer poems. This is a poem called Goodbye Pacific Ocean Blue. Storm clouds puff up with a sense of purpose that sings, Goodbye Pacific Ocean Blue. Blues hang on Oregon, a cloak of rain, a cutlass of endless drizzle, donuts dipped in rainwater, taste of the sweetness of the sea. Outside motel room doors, kids smoke pot, and they can only say awkward when I leave my room for a few beers. I think I should charge them a joint for the real estate. Their chattering voices slowly turn into tiny stone deserts. As I walk towards a bar, someone screeches karaoke journey. We are all mongrels in the swank bosom of a long, dead America. Down Burnside, illusions painted in strip bars and streetlights. I write a treatise of flooded dreams on the back of my hand. Last night, I dreamt of a wizard's hat and green knights. Last night, I dreamt I was watched over by a crystalline moose of loving grace. Last night, I dreamt of Crater Lake snows higher than clouds. Last night, I dreamt I wasn't the drunkest man in Redmond. Last night, I dreamt that water was my imagination. And I woke listening, harsh elemental whirl, motel air conditioners. And I remember spending my last 50 cents to play slot machines, trying to win bus fare anywhere it wasn't cold. I have to thank Jason Irwin for the shot of tequila. It just rewired the entirety of my fucking DNA. Got to throw that out there. This next poem reimagines Tarkovsky's Solaris. Sorry for being pretentious. I could sit and watch fall forever. Watch leaves fall forever. One at a time. One at a time. One at a time. And sometimes it rains. And sometimes it rains forever. Colloidal, vicious rain. And I think in terms of video, how the mind films clouds, how there's always a horse, these expressions in images, the ocean, the influence of our thoughts. Everything in our lives is anachronistic. Our futures remember to keep time in order. The past, a ladder that swallows its own tail. A hive mind. We are connected to a hive mind. We feed its ocean with our thoughts. We build realities in banal nonsense, in imagining of ourselves. There is no big reveal. I found the edge of time sitting on my tongue, and I sat there and I burned the remnants of myself. They say you always remember your first look at space. I always remember looking at the ocean. And I wonder if the ocean is happy. I wonder about the hive mind agitated by fear. I wonder if we get the same nervous tastes simultaneously. I wonder if we took a poll of our fears if we all weren't experiencing the same things. But we ran out of words, so we edited ourselves. We edited time and we cut in little nostalgic portraits, all the happy memories of being human, of being ocean, of being horse, or being a hive. So throw out your suicides. These are generations that see the end, but they never die. Our time is built on, but cannot stomach its own resurrection. Joan Bauer asked me to read that, actually. So, two more for you. This is called Here's to Your Ex-Wife. This bar smells like the Keller Pink dying. Every time I'm here, I swear I'm never fucking coming back. Tired of the fog of smoke and that goddamn smell. I walk in and your ex-wife gives me a hug. And we chase a little chit-chat before I head to the bar for a drink, failing to recognize the girl whose birthday it is, the mutants, or the guy who knows me. But I can't fucking remember him. And I'm admonished for allowing radio shows to die, for not having funerals to mark the end of 15 years of my life. I'm told I must be egoless to let things go sans ceremony. I reply that when a word falls off your tongue, sometimes it never needs to be spoken or spoken again. My point is not understood. I continue to orbit friends and conversations, monitoring beer and time. Eventually, I spiral back to your ex-wife, who, like you, seemed happy about the divorce. Tonight, maybe it's the season or the holidays or just the regular weight that comes with life, but it's all too goddamn much. Our conversation never hits small talk again. It is immediately in her abyss, where 3 years went, how 3 years don't feel like they belong to anyone. And I can't really imagine. I'm nearly 40 and barely housebroken. Can laugh. But I do know that had I gotten married at 22, I would have felt the same way. There's too much life to stash under one's belt. It's not a time for making a home. And I have no idea, truthfully, how to console her. I can only remind her that she is free, and somehow she can find no comfort there. I shake off the conversation and head back to the mutants, and we talk about the shows we played together, the nights we spiked audiences with mushroom-induced sounds, making rooms sparkle and slow. And they are drunk and need a baritone to hold down the jukebox. We sing Billy Joel, we sing The Foundations, and I watch your ex-wife talk to her friends, her face a mask complicated, always building itself up to fall apart. This last poem is called Fuck You, Jay Gatsby. There we go. It's okay, you can laugh, it's fine. A squall to stop midnight's strong hearts, although the fury is barely an inch. Out of the bar, snow globes, streetlights, and I offer her a ride halfway. She says she has to go to her car. Her car, where she lives now. Although she sleeps with a man she thought she had something with. Now it's just a bed she goes back to when there's nowhere. Tonight there is nowhere. Tonight there is snow. We glide down the hill laughing our asses off. Times is hard. Hell, we've been laughing for years ever since Regent Square Apartments. Up till 4, drinking and giggling. Shit, the times never got any better. Anywhere or Scioto Street. She grabs 2 sweaters against the cold, boots and then abandons boot. Alcohol braces wind chill. It's hard to believe it's December. It's hard to believe one's life fits in a trunk. It's hard to believe a college degree ain't getting anyone anywhere. It's paper. There's no money in it. There's no money in anything. We scrape our change to laugh. Gatsby's abandoned children lost in America. The beautiful nowhere. Earlier, she said if it was summer when she took her last final, she would have driven until the car died and called wherever home. I think about North Carolina afternoons. We waited out storms, pizza shops, talking about the dead that never come back and how it never gets any easier to whistle with cotton mouth. We slide uphill. The last buses whine through wires, electronic voices, can stops, U-turns, wipers push off snow, the road a tenuous ice world, South Pacific, and she gets out, the snow to swallow her. With door creaks or in the wind through the vents, I swear I hear a voice rasp and whisper, "Fuck you, Jay Gatsby." Thanks, y'all.